Hey there, how's everybody?
El guy mostly.
Everybody get some chips and chocolate?
No, not about tossing the chips and chocolate dinner.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a little bit of a meandering talk. I'm
going to
hopefully share some biblical things on revival. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit when it happens. Basic church kingdom life. But also talking about what did happen and what is happening through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that hit Toronto. So I want to keep this time a little bit casual. That if you, anything I'm talking about, if you have a question at a certain time, just raise a hand, we'll try to take that question. And then we're going to have a time of ministry. And we want to finish by two, right? Yeah, so I'd like to finish by two.
So we're
going to pray for one another, probably go into prayer about 40 minutes or so. Before we talk about Toronto, I'd like to talk about semantics a little bit, about words. I'd like to talk about the word revival, transformation, and a move of the Spirit, and renewal. Many times when we hear about outpourings of the Holy Spirit, people are quick to call it revival. But revival means much more than an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For example, in the nation of Wales in 1904, they began to experience what we would call revival. Over the next 10 years or so, that move of the Spirit was so powerful that essentially the whole nation was transformed. The coal mining industry in Wales, for example, when the revival hit Wales, and many of the miners got saved that worked in the coal mines and the iron mines, they ran into problems because they had to change their language because the miners would use a lot of swear words. And as so many miners got saved, they stopped swearing. And how many would say that's a good thing? It created problems for the coal mining and iron mining industry, though. Because they used donkeys to pull up the carts with the coal and iron in it out of the mines. And the words that they used for the donkeys to motivate them were swear words. And now that the miners were not swearing anymore, the donkeys didn't understand what they were saying. And so it sounds funny, but they literally had to retrain the donkeys in how to respond to them. They actually had policemen that ended up without jobs. Because crime dropped so significantly. They had bars and pubs that closed down. Because so many drunkards were no longer drinking. And over a 5-10 year period, a big percentage of the nation came to Christ. So we would say that the nation of Wales was transformed by that move of the Spirit. They experienced revival. And so when I use the word revival, to me that means not just the church being renewed, but the culture and the cities around us being changed by the kingdom of God. But sometimes you can have a move of the Spirit that is a work of renewal for the church. Like the church of Laodicea, Jesus spoke to in Revelation 3. Sometimes the church grows lukewarm. And at times, God will pour out His Spirit and bring a fresh revelation of Jesus. And that move of the Spirit, it causes the people of God to fall in love on a deeper level with Jesus. What happened in Toronto in 1904 or in 1994, 95, 96, 97, 98. It's still going on today. It was not a revival in that the city of Toronto did not become transformed. But it was a historical move of the Spirit. And they believe that in the first 5 years of that move of the Spirit, over 5 million Christians came to that small church and had significant touches of the Holy Spirit, such as what happened with Steve Oliver. He came to Toronto in 1994, had a significant touch of the Spirit. He went back several months later, received a prophetic word about South Africa. Then he came back home and then came from Cape Town up to here and started this work. And that has been duplicated many times among many leaders. Many pastors and leaders that were burnt out, that were tired in ministry, received incredible touches of the Holy Spirit. And it's like an awakening that happened to their spirits and to their souls. In 1991, we were living in California. Our international ministry was about 9 years old at that time. And I was asked to speak at a church in Ontario, Canada. And so I went to this church about an hour from Toronto. And I did a conference there for 3 days. And then the conference was over. I was about to going to fly home on a Monday. The last meeting was on Sunday morning. And the pastor said, "Would you go with me to Toronto Sunday night?" He said, "We're starting a new church plant in Toronto." And he said, "Would you come and do the Sunday night meeting there?" And so I went and did the Sunday night meeting. I had never met this pastor before until I did the conference in his church. Toronto was about almost 3,000 miles from San Diego, where I lived. That'd be about 5,000 kilometers. And the pastor who I had just met that I did this conference for, he said, "You know, Mark, we just met you 4 days ago." And he said, "We don't know you well, but we really love how you've been ministering in our church." And he said, "Would you pray about maybe moving from California to Toronto, continue to minister internationally, but when you're here, help us grow the church and train our church in the spiritual gifts?" In my mind, I said, "I don't want to move to Toronto. It's a different country. There's cold weather in the wintertime. There's snow. I don't like snow. All of our families in San Diego. We had started a church in San Diego that was going really well. I didn't want to even think about that. But I said, "Okay, we'll pray." And when as I began to pray, I was surprised the Lord began to speak to me that we're to move. So I told my wife what was going on. And I said, "Why don't you pray about it?" I was sure that if she prayed about it, she would hear no. But I was surprised when she prayed about it. She said, "I think the Lord is saying something about this." We had started a church in San Diego with two pastors. And we started it 5 years before. Our church now was about 300 or 400. I told them what was going on. And they said, "Why in the world would you move to Canada? You help start this church. We support you here. All your family's here. San Diego is such a great place to live. It's a lot like Cape Town. Beautiful beaches, beautiful weather." They said, "Why would you move to Canada?" They said, "It doesn't make sense." I said, "I know it doesn't make sense, but would you pray about it?" So the three of us, we prayed about it for 2 months. And when we met back together, those two pastors said, "We don't understand it, but we feel like the Lord is saying, yes, you're to move." And so the church blessed us and sent us to Toronto. We arrived in early May of
1992.
We'd arranged to do a prophetic conference a week later. At this time, our church is only 180
people.
And before one of the sessions when I was going to speak, during worship, the Holy Spirit gave me a vision. And I saw a vision of Niagara Falls, a huge waterfall near Toronto. It's like Victoria Falls in Africa. I saw a vision of that coming down from heaven over the city of Toronto. And the Lord said, "I'm going to pour out my spirit upon this city, And then it's going to go to the nations. Toronto had never experienced a major move of the Spirit before. 3.5 million people. But they had never had experienced a big move of the Spirit. And then the Lord said in this vision, the outpouring of the Spirit will begin in late 1993 or early
92.
Now, let me say something to you about prophecy in the New Testament. Most New Testament prophecy is what we would call conditional prophecy. Like, what is your name?
Petros.
Petros. Petros, if I prophesy over Petros, that God wants to use you for evangelism, you can do two things, or three things. You can say, no, I don't like talking to people about Jesus. Or you can say, oh, hallelujah, I'm going to be an evangelist. Or a third thing, you can say, thank you, Lord, for this word. And you can begin to pray, Lord, would you give me opportunities to talk to people about Jesus? And then as God gives you opportunities, you begin to open your mouth and talk to people about Jesus. I've had people come up to me. And they say, 5 years ago, you prophesied that I was going to lead people to Jesus. And they say, but I haven't led anyone to Jesus. And I say to them, have you prayed about it? And they say, no, I thought it was just going to happen. And I say, have you opened your mouth and talked to anybody about Jesus? Well, no. And so that prophecy that God wants to use him for evangelism, it's what we call conditional. Meaning he has to respond to God. Most prophetic words in the New Testament are conditional prophecies. When God speaks, he gives you a vision, a dream, a word. It's like a seed. When a farmer holds a seed in his hand, it's just a piece of dead wood. It doesn't look like very much. But if you plant that seed in good soil, and then you water it, and you give it nutrition, a miracle begins to happen. When God gives you a prophetic word, you've got to plant it in your heart. You've got to say, Lord, give me faith for this word. And when you respond with faith through a prophecy God gives you, that's like planting it in your heart. And then like a farmer, you've got to water it. How do you water a word in your heart? You pray over it. Lord, bring this word into fulfillment. Lead me and guide me. Give me opportunities. Sometimes prophecies take years to be fulfilled. But the prophet Habakkuk, he said, even though the vision tarries, wait for it, it will come to pass. And so when you receive a word, you plant in your heart and you water it through prayer, and then you give it nutrition. How do you give nutrition to a prophetic word? Very simple. Be obedient in the small things.
Mamela nthunzinyane.
So if I give him a prophetic word that he's going to lead many to Christ.
Jwale ha ba mfa bo profeta ba go tlaitela ba bangata go Kriste.
If he just sits and waits.
Ha ba ke dula mono ke ema.
For an invitation to speak at a large crusade.
Ke emela memo ho bua crusading nngwe kgolo.
It'll never happen. But if he starts sharing the gospel with people every chance he gets, as he's faithful in the small steps, it leads to bigger opportunities. Biblically, this is called sowing and reaping. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. As we sow, we reap." 2,000 years ago, Jesus died by himself on a piece of dead wood. And today, there's over, close to 1 billion people that call Jesus Lord. Because he embraced a piece of dead wood. When God gives you a dream, a vision, a prophecy, it just seems like a dead piece of wood. But you plant that seed and you begin to see the miracles God does. And so I prophesied that in May of 1992. And the word was in late 93, early 94, this move will begin. And about that time, a South African evangelist, most of you have heard of him, Rodney Howard Brown. He had moved from South Africa to the United States. And there began to be a fresh move of the Spirit through him. Many people that he prayed for were overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord. And just overwhelmed with the power of God. There was a pastor from St. Louis, Missouri. His name is Randy Clark. And he was tired and burnt out in ministry. And he heard about Rodney Howard Brown's ministry. And he went to one of his meetings. Was powerfully touched by the Spirit. And so he came to our church. And in the third weekend in January 1994, he was doing a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And we maybe had 150 people in the crowd. But it was the Saturday night meeting. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God came down. We had seen many people healed and saved in our church. But all of a sudden, there were like 100 people laying on the floor. Many people laughing uncontrollably from the joy of the Lord. People throughout the whole room shaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. And people
were
thinking, wow, this is a great meeting. But then it continued Sunday morning. They announced a special meeting Sunday night. And many people heard about what was happening. There were over 200 people on the Sunday night. And many people just got laid out under the power of the Holy Spirit. Many people laughed for 2 or 3 hours from the joy of the Lord coming on them. The Bible tells us about Jesus that he's filled with the oil of gladness. And we said to Randy, why don't you stay for Monday night? And then it went from Monday night to Tuesday night to Wednesday night to Thursday night to Friday night. And within 2 weeks, our little church of 150-200 people, we began to have 500 people every night, then 800 people, then 1,000, then 1,500. And we had these meetings for 5 years, meaning 6 nights a week. People began to fly from England and Germany. They began to come from the United States.
United States.
And over the next 5 years, they came from all over the earth. From Australia, New Zealand. From all over Asia. In September of
1994,
I received a phone call from a Japanese pastor in Los Angeles. He said, Mark, I've arranged for 70 pastors to come from Japan to Toronto. He said, are you going to be in Toronto when they're there in October? I said, yes, I'll be there.
And
he said, can you do meetings for them? So we did meetings at the church for these 70 Japanese pastors. The first meeting they were at, as they saw hundreds of people shaking under the power of the Holy Spirit, laughing from the joy of the Lord, people weeping from the goodness of God coming over them. These Japanese pastors did not like this. They felt very uncomfortable. And they actually called the airline to see if they could fly home the next day. But it would cost them too much to fly home early. So they were stuck there for a week. But the second day, some of them began to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Japanese people are a very stoic people, very quiet people. And some of these Japanese pastors began to laugh and laugh and laugh from the joy of the Lord. Some of them sitting in their chairs during the meeting began to slide out from the chair on the floor, and they just couldn't get up off the floor. And by the end of the week, all 70 of these Japanese pastors were actually wanting to stay longer because they were just experiencing the goodness of God in a way they had never experienced before. And they say that we had about 5 million people that first 5-6 years come to our church. And like with Steve Oliver, many, many churches and Pete Christians were transformed. After the first week of the outpouring, I called up the two pastors in San Diego that I'd started the church with.
And
I said, fly out here as soon as you can. So 2 weeks later, they arrived in Toronto. They were there for 6 nights of meetings. Every night, both of them just got laid out in the power of the Holy Spirit. When they went back to San Diego to the church, they said, they shared about it Sunday morning. And the Spirit of God came down over the church that was now about 600 people. Many people just fell out on the floor and were laughing from the joy of the Lord. They started having special meetings on Friday nights, Saturday nights, Sunday nights. And over the next year and a half, they say over 75,000 Christians from throughout San Diego came to that church and were touched by the Spirit of God. And many different churches in San Diego just got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in a way they'd never experienced before. And many leaders were just filled with so much encouragement and faith. Went out and started new churches. Starting new ministries. From Mozambique. Heidi and Roland Baker. They had one church and an orphanage. They were tired and burnt out. They were worn out from years of ministry. They heard about the move of the Spirit in Toronto. And so they came to Toronto. They were desperate for God. This is one of the great keys to personal revival. Being in a place of being desperate for more of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness." Jesus rebuked the church of Laodicea. Because they'd become satisfied with themselves. One of the great promises throughout the Bible is the promise that if we will draw near to God, He will draw near to us. But we see with many Christians, when they come to church, sometimes they're just going through a ritual. They come to church because it's just become part of their culture. You see many Christians in some churches. During the worship, they're just singing a song. They're not really worshiping God. They're not really in adoration of God. They're not really excited about God. They're just there singing the songs because it's part of their religion. Jesus rebuked those sort of people. He said, "You worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." And when the body of Christ, when the church, when we lose our passion for Jesus, when we lose our first love for Jesus, things in church get stale, they get dry. Because it's a relationship God has called us to. And we saw so many people come to Toronto that were dry and burnt out, and their love renewed, their passion for Jesus. The Bakers were touched powerfully by the Holy Spirit in Toronto. They went back to Mozambique. And that's when the miracle started happening after that. And other Mozambican pastors began to come to them and start working with them. Today in Mozambique, the Bakers have thousands and thousands of churches. I've been with them in remote areas in the north of Mozambique, where we've seen entire Muslim villages come to Christ because of the miracles and healings that happened. But when they came to Toronto, they just had one orphanage and one small church. But they got filled with the Spirit and way of God in a way they hadn't experienced before. I remember one testimony we had on videotape. We were doing a conference. And there was a man and woman that had come from South Africa to Toronto. And every night they were laid out on the floor, just laughing and laughing and laughing for hours. And so we did a video interview with them. And they said, "What's happening to you?" They said, "We've been dry and hurting for a long time." And they said, "Our marriage has been bad. For years, our marriage has been terrible. We've been talking about divorce for years. And we've tried marriage counseling. We've had prayer. And we've been close to getting a divorce. But we heard about this move of the Spirit. So we thought, okay, God, we're going to come to Toronto to see if there's anything you can do for our marriage." The first night of meetings, they just got so drunk in the Holy Spirit. And they were laughing and laughing on the floor of the church. They got back to their hotel room. And they were still laughing, drunk in the Holy Spirit. But they looked at one another. And they were able to see one another in a new way. And that night in the hotel room, they asked forgiveness of each other for the hardness in their hearts. And they asked forgiveness of one another. And they got down on their knees. And they renewed their marriage vows to one another that night in the hotel room. And they told this story in the video testimony. And the man from our church who was interviewing them, he said, "Well, how bad was your marriage?" And the husband started laughing. He said, "This is how bad it was." He said, "One night, my wife was chasing me through the house with a butcher knife."
You
see, God never intended us to live out of our own strengths and abilities. Paul said, "Be filled with the Spirit." And when he talked about being filled with the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, he talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You see, these nine things, gentleness, kindness, love, peace, joy, this is the nature of Christ Jesus. And when we're filled with the Spirit, the nature of Christ is evident within us. Many Christians go through life striving to be the best Christian they can be. You can't be a good Christian. Not in your own ability. That's why Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. That's why the Old Testament prophet said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. When Jesus appeared to the 12 disciples after the resurrection, the 11 disciples, he breathed upon them. And he said, receive the Spirit. Something happened that had never happened ever before. You see, in the Old Testament times, they had the Holy Spirit upon them, but nobody had the Spirit of God within them. Even Adam and Eve in the garden, they were with God, but the Spirit of God was not within them. Jesus breathed upon the disciples, and the Spirit of God came within them. Nobody had ever experienced that before. They had known the anointing, the Holy Spirit upon them, the power of God, but not the Spirit within. And for this reason, the Apostle Paul, even speaking metaphorically, he said there's a mystery about marriage. Then in a marriage, a man and woman become one. And he said that's a picture of our relationship with Christ Jesus and the Spirit. The Spirit of God comes within us in Christ Jesus. We are alive to God in this relationship. Christianity is not about you and I striving to be a better person. It is about living and walking with God. You know, the greatest testimony in all the Bible, I think, is Enoch in the book of Genesis. It says Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. God just took him home one day. Enoch never died a physical death. It says he walked with God. One afternoon, God knocked on his door, said, let's go for a walk in the hills. And he and Jesus walked so far. By the time night came, God said, well, Enoch, now you're closer to my house than you are in yours. You might as well just come home with me. And God just took him. He was no more. But that's the ultimate picture of what Christianity is. You and I walking with God, living with Him, communing with Him. Now let me say this about manifestations. Manifestations can come from three sources. They can come that we're responding to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people shake from the power of God. Sometimes people fall down from the power of God. Because they're being overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they can laugh just out of a revelation of the joy of the Lord. Sometimes when the Spirit is moving, you'll see people weeping. They're having a revelation of the goodness of God, and it just causes them to weep. And so sometimes the manifestations is a response to the Spirit. But sometimes the manifestation is not caused by God. It can just be a learned behavior. You can go to some churches. And when you say, "Come, Holy Spirit," there'll be some people who immediately... But they're not shaking from the power of God. They're shaking because at one time they experienced the power of God. And now they're trying to imitate that. I would call that a soulish manifestation. And then there can be a third source of manifestations. And those can be a demonic manifestation. And sometimes when the kingdom of God is moving, the authority of God is moving, the demons get very uncomfortable when the king shows up. And there'll be a demonic manifestation. And then we cast those demons out. And you don't want to cast out the Holy Spirit. And when it's a demonic manifestation, you don't want to say, "More, Lord." I've been in meetings when there's demonic manifestations. And someone thinks, "Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. More, Lord, give them more." I say, "No, we want to get rid of that one." But I've also been in meetings when people have been powerfully touched by the Holy Spirit. And some Christians have never seen that before. And so they try to cast out a demon. In May of 1994, I had a group of pastors from Vancouver, Canada. They were in my house. I was doing a meeting for them. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. And one of them, a Chinese-speaking pastor from Vancouver. His name is Gideon Shu. He began to start roaring like a lion, making this loud, roaring noise. And he was holding his fingers like a lion's paws. There were six other pastors there. And I'd already prayed for them. They're laid out on the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. And now this guy Gideon is roaring like a lion. I thought, this is bad. The other six pastors are on the floor. They can't help me. And this guy has a big demon coming out. And I'm by myself. But the Lord said, "Look again." And as I looked upon him, I thought about him. He's a man of real purity. He's a man deeply committed to prayer. He's a very gentle pastor. And I said, "Lord, could this manifestation be of you?" And the Lord said, "Yes." And he roared like a lion for about half an hour. And when he stopped, I said, "Gideon, was that roaring, was that coming from the Spirit of God?" And And he said, yes.
Are, hey.
And I said, what was the Lord saying to you? And he said, the Lord has showed me that the dragon of China that has kept my people in bondage for thousands of years is about to be defeated by the lion of the tribe of Judah. The prophet Amos said, when God speaks, who cannot prophesy? When the lion roars, who will not fear? In the last 15 years, God has used Gideon powerfully in every Asian nation to bring about a work of unity. He's even brought the four different maid families of the underground church in China together to pray together for the first time ever. And God has used him to bring about a historical unity among the saints in Asia. I was just in November in Jerusalem. Gideon asked me to come to a conference he was putting together in Jerusalem. And we had over 5,000 Christians gathered in Jerusalem for 5 nights of prayer and worship. Over 1,500 of them were just from China. And the Lord gave us a word that what God has been doing in China is going to begin to come to the Western world nations. And although Gideon is a very gentle, soft-spoken man, he's been moving in the Asian nations now with the authority of the lion of the tribe of Judah. So before we pray, I want to say this about manifestations. We never try to make anything happen. I have never, in 10,000 meetings, prayed, Lord, make them shake. I've never prayed, Lord, make people fall down. I've never prayed, Lord, make people laugh. Because that's just seeking an experience. What we do is we seek Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he may come like a mighty rushing wind. He may cause you to shake or fall from the power of the Holy Spirit. Or he may come as a still, gentle breeze and just softly speak to your heart. God knows exactly what you need. So we don't pray, Lord, make Peter shake. But we pray, Holy Spirit, would you fill Peter? And we allow God to be God and do what he wants to do. Because if you go seeking after a spiritual manifestation, you could be opening the door for witchcraft. Because even Satan can appear as an angel of light. So we never seek an experience, we seek Jesus. And if God wants to give us a certain experience, then he knows what he's doing. So let's all stand. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, excuse me. Now say to them, don't bother me for the next 10 minutes. God's got something for me. Let's all just spread out a little bit. Let's just be open to the Holy Spirit. And would you pray out loud after me? Just close your eyes and hold your hands out to the Lord. And pray this prayer. Father God, you are a good father. Thank you that you give me your very best. You've given me Jesus. And so I ask you now in the name of Jesus, would you come and fill me with your Holy Spirit? You know exactly what I need. If I need power, would you fill me with your power? If my heart needs a revelation of your joy, would you fill me with your joy? If I need a revelation of your goodness, fill me with a deeper revelation of your goodness. Father, I look to you. Would you fill me now, Holy Spirit? Now, just be still before the Lord. Just allow the Holy Spirit to come now. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, fill Franco fresh in the name of Jesus. Fill him fresh in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, increase to you, Franco. Now, Franco, just hold your hands out to the Lord. Just stand behind you. Just stretch a hand to Franco. Franco, I bless you in the name of Jesus to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Franco, I know you're being touched by the Lord, but stay focused on the Lord. But what's happening to you? Enlarging. What are you sensing is happening to you physically right now?
I feel a bit of a warmth coming upon me from behind.
A little bit of a warmth coming on you. It looks like you're having trouble standing. Now, if you notice, something's happening with his feet. Quite often, when I see God giving people an anointing for evangelism, there'll be something happening with their feet. Isaiah the prophet said, "How wonderful are the feet of those who bring good news across the mountaintops." So it's my perception that the Holy Spirit is anointing Franco for his churches back in India for a fresh move of evangelism. But you see him shaking and hard time standing. He's also been anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit for miracles and healing. So, Franco, I bless your hands in the name of Jesus to be anointed for miracles and signs and wonders in Jesus' name. And I bless streams of living water to flow out of your innermost being. Can I have one of the brothers just stand behind him here? Just come stand behind him. Now, I've forgotten your name. What's happening to you now? Just one of you come stand behind him. Now, see, he was touching Franco. The Holy Spirit's like a contagious disease at times. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you to be filled with a fresh prophetic anointing upon your life. And I bless you to be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, keep him up, keep him up. Let's keep him back up here. Now, Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give.
I want you
to say a prayer for everybody out here that they'd get what you're getting.
Be
filled.
One more time.
Be filled.
Dala.
Amuhela.
Amuhela.
Now just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to fill you right here.
Dumela mwela mwela.
Just allow the Holy Spirit. Now you see what's happening with her right here. Could one of the men stand behind her? What is your name? Rose, in the name of Jesus. I bless you to be filled fresh now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I speak strength to you, and I just say it's a new day, new strength coming to you. Every one of you that you know that you need a fresh filling of the strength of the Lord, just say, Lord, fill me with power now. Can I have one of the men just come stand behind her? Right
now?
Your name is... Okay, I'll just, Greta. Greta, in the name of Jesus, I bless you to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord right now, in Jesus' name. Right there, in the name of Jesus, be filled. Right where you're at, just be filled with the Lord. Just be filled. Be filled. Peter, in the name of Jesus. Could one of the men come stand behind him right now? There it is. Be filled with the wind of God, being right there. There it is. Fire of God coming on you for evangelism and healings in the name of Jesus. Fire of God on you. Fire. Andrew, in the name of Jesus, right there. Streams of living water flowing out of innermost being. Now let's keep our focus on the Lord. If you know that over the past few months you've been going through a real dry season, would you come to the front right now? If you know you've been going through a dry season, come to the front. Just stand in a line, if you would. Now, just spread out a little bit more. Now, those of you who didn't need to come forward for that, would you just come and stand behind some people, put hands upon their shoulders? And put hands upon their shoulders and say, I bless you in the name of Jesus to be filled with the Spirit of God. I bless you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Dave, in the name of Jesus, I bless you. Right there, right there, right there. Could I get one of the men to come stand behind him right here? Right there. Increase to you, Dave. Increase. There it is. Fire of God on you right there. Fire of God on you in the name of Jesus. Increase to you, Dave. Increase to you. Fire of God on you right there. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you right there. Okay, watch him here. Fire. Fire in the name of Jesus. Fire. In the name of Jesus. Fire. Fire of God upon you right there. In the name of Jesus. Fire of God on you right there. In the name of Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you. Matt, in the name of Jesus, fire the Holy Spirit upon you right there. Fire upon you right there. In the name of Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you. In the name of Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you right there. In the name of Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you right there. Increase, increase, increase. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you in the name of Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you in the name of Jesus. Fire, 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 fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you right there.
Thank you. Thank
you. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you right there in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you right there. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you right there. There it is. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you. Fire. Fire. Fire upon you, Barbara, in the name of Jesus. Fire of God upon you right there. And Barbara, the Lord's also doing some healing in your body right now. There's something in your digestive tract. I speak healing to your whole digestive tract and to your stomach system. I bless you to process food perfectly. And I speak restoration to your digestive tract, healing to you. A couple of you keep praying for her. Fire of God upon you right there. Fire of God. Fire of God upon you in the name of Jesus. Fire. Fire of God upon you right there. Fire of God upon you in the name of Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit to you now. Fire of the Holy Spirit to you in the name of Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit on you. Reach across and put hands on the shoulder of the person next to you. Put hands on the shoulder of the person next to you. And we're going to go do a part two of this tomorrow. We're going to go deeper into ministry tomorrow afternoon, the workshop. So this is just kind of part one. But turn to the person next to you and say, I bless you to be a carrier of the presence of God. Say to them, I bless you. Streams of living water to flow out of your innermost being. I bless you to be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Right, come back up over here. Now just come up on the stage. Now what's happening with you?
I just feel like I'm just drinking in His presence, experiencing such liberty, fear of man, just going. Don't care what people
think. So just, I want you to pray a prayer. Just send people out and say, Lord, as you send them out, would you give them what I've got?
Father, just thank you for your freedom. Thank you for the liberty that you give us. What you've given me, Lord, give them now in the name of Jesus. As they go, Lord, let them know your freedom. Let them know your joy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now turn to somebody and say, You look like you want to take me out for an ice cream cone.